The Christmas story bears witness. Bears witness that the baby born of Mary, lying in a manger, is nothing less than God in the flesh. God born in frail flesh. Really? How can flesh be the solution when for most of us and most of our lives, flesh is the problem? Seems kind of weird. All flesh is grass, declares the writer of Psalm 90. I don't know about you, but I'm proving that in my own body. We're not created to be angels. We're finite, mortal, limited, or as the Bible says, short-lived, terminal flesh. No matter what your age is this evening, your body is heading in only one direction. And it's not only that the body breaks down over time, but the body has a way to take over. I had a cold last week, and now I sound like death warmed over. And someday I'll be dead and not warmed over. Maybe that's why so many older people talk about nothing else than their health. The aches and pains of the body wearing out. It consumes us. We like to think and we like to praise our higher nature. But just let one little toothache begin and the lower nature takes over. We're all tooth and brain, without all flesh and no spirit. You know, I think of myself as a thinking, willing, rational creature. I think, therefore I am. I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. I am a free person living in the most free country in the world. I can do whatever I put my mind to. Yeah, who am I kidding? This year, like last year, I promised myself this fall to lose 10 pounds by year's end. I got 1 week to go and I got 12 pounds to go. A piece of chocolate cake has me by the throat. I am held completely captive by a second helping of scalloped potatoes. My alimentary canal dominates my brain. I eat, I expel, therefore I am. So it is any wonder that throughout the ages, the main agenda of most philosophy and most religion has been, what are we to do about the flesh? The philosopher Plato gave birth to a philosophy of thought that said you could think your way out of the flesh. You could, through contemplation, rise above your lower nature. What's real is the ideal world. What is beyond the sheer material and the sheer physical. Close your eyes, get comfortable, think your way to a higher being. I think that's sort of behind some of our modern notions of spirituality. You know, this modern sense that we have two natures within us. One is physical, that is the flesh. The other is sort of higher and more noble. And with certain disciplines and certain things, we can sort of think higher thoughts, uplifting sentiments. We can take our minds out of the muck, out of the carnal, out of the material, out of the physical, and rise up to something higher. That might even be why some people come to church, really. Be less jerked around by the physical, perhaps be motivated by the spiritual. The Greeks went on so far as to say that our bodies were mere prisons. Our flesh is a prison. It's really our souls trapped in a decaying flesh, a decaying cage. And through certain things we might, for a time, escape. At least for a little while. We might rise up out of our enslavement and be free. Until Jesus came. And you know this story. The Word, the eternal divine Word, the world-creating Word, became flesh and moved in with us. Born of Mary, born in a manger in Bethlehem. Something had to be done about our flesh, about our decaying, domineering materiality. And on a starlit night, the Almighty God sort of slips in among us, assumed the very flesh that we would like to shed, and was born. That's a weird thing for God to do. After all, we think of God as the antithesis of flesh. Right? God isn't God something spiritual? We rise above the decadence and the pain, the sorrow, and the suffering of this world. We float upward. No, is what Bethlehem says. No is what the manger and the birth says. Yes, we are animals, we are frail, we are enslaved, we are finite, we are limited, which means we cannot get to God. And so God comes to us. That's what the incarnation means. It's what Christmas means. God has come in the flesh to you and me. What Easter means, if you want to come back in April, what Easter means is that Jesus has a body. I didn't say he had a body. He has one. We know that Jesus, as he grew, the child born in Bethlehem, he slept, he ate, he wept, he bled, and then he horribly died. And what not everybody knows yet is that though the tomb was bare of Jesus' body, Jesus was back in a resurrected body. And in his resurrected body, he could sort of come and go in an instant, which is kind of weird. He seemed uncontained by space and time. He passed through doors. But nevertheless, it was a body to which he was recognizable to his closest friends. It enabled him to share meals, to share arguments to his followers, whether he was invited or not, which became for them an irrefutable statement that, well, Jesus has been risen from the dead. And in fact, in the creed, as we'll do in a little bit, we will say, we believe in the resurrection of the body. That is, we believe that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead will likewise someday raise you and me, not as ghosts, not as disembodied spirits, but as enfleshed bodies. There can be no person without a body. And in saying that, we believe that God will raise our dead, decaying flesh into something new, and that we'll be recognizable to one another. If that's true, some implications. If you wish to meet this God in the flesh, you'll need to do it here and now, because that's where God is. If you're going to worship this God in the flesh, born of Mary, raised from the dead, you'll need to do it here. And that's why you come here at times like this, to see if we can meet God again, face to face. Sometimes we come to church and we want to just get spiritual, leave our decaying and mortal flesh. And for 2,000 years, the church has said, here, here's some bread. Here's some wine. This is as spiritual as we get. Christ came not to deliver us away from our flesh and all of the flesh demands, but to redeem it, to make it new, to ennoble our fleshy, frail, faulty, broken existence by his sheer presence and birth among us, his real presence, his real earthy, fleshy presence, that is, his body. And in a great mystery, in doing so, he makes of you and me, of our flesh, a kind of sacrament, a means of his grace, an outward, invisible sign of his body to the world, his presence among us. Take, eat, it's given for you. Mary and Joseph beheld God in the flesh in the manger. He's laying there on the dinner plate of animals. For those barnyard animals on Christmas Eve are the first to ever engage in a kind of Eucharistic adoration. They behold him in the flesh. He has come to redeem us and to redeem our frail flesh. That's our salvation. That is good news. That is why we are here. Merry Christmas. Amen.